Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
If you're planning on spending the weekend, the bank holiday weekend in the garden, maybe this is the time of the year that you tackle your outside area. Our home squad are here today to help you answer, well, get answers to some of your landscaping questions. Brian Burke is Woody's DIY and garden expert. He's RTE Super Garden Judge. And of course, Jenny Sheehan, Irish Examiner columnist on Instagram too, at Workers Cottage. You're both very welcome. Thanks for joining us. So look, there's was two different elements to this. There's sorting out the garden and then there's looking at the big landscaping renovation that you want to do. 087 1400 106 is the question. Sorry, it's not the question. That's the number for your questions for our listeners today. But Brian, for people, first of all, starting in the garden, getting it summer ready, where do they start?
Well, I suppose the post-winter cleanup is the first big thing. So, I mean, we've had a long, dreary winter. We've had a few fairly severe winter storms. So your garden's going to pick up a good bit of damage, particularly if you have a lot of evergreen planting. Evergreen planting tends to catch the wind and it tends to get damaged more so than deciduous planting. So you'll be out, you'll be pruning, you'll be removing any damaged limbs, any damaged shoots. You'll be doing that post-winter tidy up. You'll also be getting your beds ready. So cultivating, turning over, loosening your soil, aerating your soil, doing all that before weed seed gets a chance to set. Because as you've noticed in the last week or two, growth has really started. Spring has sprung big time. And that also means weeds, you know. So if you want to plant and you want to get perennial beds ready, get in there, cultivate that soil, loosen it, get it ready, prevent those weeds from getting established.
I don't have a back garden, Brian, but I do have a, you know, the outside or the back area. It is paved. And I spent 2 weekends ago the entire day on Saturday digging out weeds from in between the slabs. Desperate.
Yeah, it's hard work, but it's worth it. If you can do it and do it successfully and get down and get really down into your soil and turn it over and get to the roots of those, particularly any perennial weeds like docks that have a large tap root, if you can dig those out and get your beds cleaned and loosened, it's going to pay dividends down the line, you know.
Are you handy in the garden?
No, I am not. No. I'm the opposite. Not at all. I just, now I will say, I did spend a very satisfying day a few weeks ago with a handy weeding tool that I got in Screwfix down in my mammy's garden, if you're listening. It's one of those things, you dig it into the ground, it's got this claw thing at the end, and then you pull it backwards and the root gets ripped out by the weed gets ripped out by the root. My God, it was satisfying. I wouldn't mind spending a few more weekends like that.
Really?
Well, the first thing to say on that is Woody's is the place to get your tools that stay out of Screwfix. But I know the tool you're talking about, some people swear also by you're talking about paving and having hard surfaces with weeds in the cracks.
Oh my God, the little weeds that get up in between them. So I have the first bit of that done, and the next step now is the power hose. Blast the last of them.
Yeah, and power hosing is grand. It depends on the nature of your paving. If you have precast dry laid paving with open joints and kiln dried sand in it, power hosing can be problematic because it's going to send stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
If you have solid material like a porcelain or like an outside tile that has a solid joint, a grouted joint, power hosing is perfect for that situation. But just, you know, assess the situation first before you get the power washer out.
I one day, sometime down the line when I win the cash machine, I have great plans to, you know, do that sort of inside, outside, back garden look that's all, you know,
I
streamlined.
Love that. I really love that. Bring the outside in with maybe even flooring that just flows from the inside to the outside and something cohesive. I think that's lovely in Ireland, especially when we just don't get enough light and enough outdoors.
Absolutely. It's very compatible with the way we're doing extensions and architecture now. So it's all about the big concertina sliding door, a lot of glass in the back. So when you pull back the sliding doors, you can quite easily, you know, appreciate the flow from inside to outside. And everything's on the same level.
Beautiful.
You know, typically a little echo slotted drain on the outside to prevent damp. And then the same material on the inside and the outside, and you get the same level and the same flow. It's beautiful, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Listener questions. This texter is in the process of converting a section of lawn into a bed. I have the sod stripped and the soil reasonably well turned over. I'm ready to start selecting plants. I'm looking for suggestions on the general approach I should take. The area is pretty square, about 5 metres by 5, and it does get good sunlight.
Okay, 5 metres by 5 metres. The first question to ask there is, it's square. Is the square up against the backdrop? like a boundary or a wall or some sort of a fence? Or is it in a standalone situation, maybe in the middle of a lawn? If it's out in a standalone situation, it's going to influence the planting you do. Because if you're able to see it from all the way around, you want your tall stuff in the middle, and then you want the hierarchy to come downwards out to the edges. Whereas if it's up against the backdrop, all of the high stuff goes at the back, and then the hierarchy comes down towards the front edge. So if you look at all of the plant types that we have available to us, from small to large, from bulbs, annuals, bedding plants, biennials, small perennials, small shrubs, deciduous shrubs, evergreen shrubs, small trees, large trees. That's a huge amount of ingredients. Mm. So the big tip with creating a bed is to dip in and out of that range of plant types. Traditionally, we focus far too much on one particular plant type when planting beds. So we all know the big shrubby bed from the 1890s to 1990s, lots of evergreen shrubs and very little flowering perennials and grasses. We want to avoid that. So try and dip into the whole range of plant types that are available to you. You know, your biennials, your grasses. Perennial grasses are great for given perennial.
They're the ones to look at.
Structure. Okay. And then if you've got a backdrop, make sure you put your height at the back and then cascade down towards the front.
Okay. Yeah. Martina's wondering, I want to put a raised bed in my garden about 12 feet long. I've gone away from the idea of sleepers. What other materials would your guests recommend, preferably maintenance free?
Do you know what I love in a raised bed is where if there's an actual layer or if there's an actual height difference in the garden itself, you know, so it's not just kind of a bed that sits in its own.
Oh, yeah.
But you have that lovely, maybe you have a bench, you know, for example, along the inside of it and then the raised bed on the outside. I think that's lovely. Yeah. My personal preference is a little bit old school. I love just a bit of red brick or some type of, you know, casement tiles or something like that around it is lovely. Hard to go wrong with wood as well. Something like a burnt larch or something like that is a bit of a more modern look and really, really hard wearing. I think that's fabulous as well. We had it in our old home when I was growing up down in County Clare, and we used to have lights wired into the bed itself, I think is so lovely. Now, these days, it's much easier. You don't need it wired in. You can get solar lights just to put in along the corners, a dot along the sides. I just think that looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
My mum has a large overgrown garden. I'm wondering what's the best way to keep a weed membrane in place when trying to kill off the ground level overgrowth. Is it worth spraying with white vinegar solution to help kill?
Organic spray solutions are good. Yeah, DIY solutions, they are effective. But if you are going, my advice on fabric is, if you're going with a fabric is not that compatible with an area that's going to be densely planted. So if it's an area you just want to keep clean and keep free of weeds, it works well. But it doesn't work so well in a bed that you're going to eventually plant up, because you tend to get fibrous roots getting entangled in the fabric and it can become problematic. The fabric interferes with the wet drying cycle of the soil, etc. So if it's going to be planted densely, avoid it. But if it's an area where you just want to kill off the weeds and prepare it maybe for future planting, absolutely. There's two main different types of fabric as well. It's worth knowing this. There's what we call the woven fabric and there's the spun fabric. The woven is more heavier. It's more of a civil engineering product. It's for bigger spaces. And when you cut it, it frays. It's threaded. The spun fabric is better for smaller spaces. It's consistent material. When you cut it, it doesn't fray. It's a solid material. It's more agile. It's easier for lining planters. It's better for a smaller space. So assess the size of the area that you have and then choose the one accordingly.
Okay. Listener Jenny's wondering about hoping to do a huge landscaping job out in their back garden area. They want to put in a pergola, hopefully have that inside-outside tiling feature, and then they're hoping to build, eventually, the outdoor kitchen. How much of this can they do themselves?
Oh, I mean, it's up to yourself, I suppose. So I think there's so much to think about here, right? One is what's in the garden already. Is there something that you're going to have to take up? Are you going to have to remove some turf, for example, if you're going to be putting those tiles down? Because you'll need to take up that layer of turf. You'll need to put down some kind of membrane to prevent weeds underneath. You'll need to have some kind of sand underlay there to keep things even. And then the tiles that you want to put down, you need to make sure that they're ready for outdoors. They have to be, you know, it has to say suitable for outdoors, because there's, you know, greater temperature fluctuations and there's weathering and everything that happens outdoors. You have to be careful about that. So if you're up for that yourself, it's not impossible. I know there are people who've done their own paving. It's hard. It's backbreaking work. And the one thing we actually mentioned, I think, on this show last week, the one thing you need to think about is, do you have access into your garden? So do you need to be able to bring wheelbarrows in and out of your house, or is there some back gate or back entrance that you can, you know, take things in and out of? It's fine. The second thing then you were asking about is the pergola. You can, you know, there are actually self-installed pergolas. Just, you know, if you know yourself that you are comfortable with screwing things in and you're able to find a joist and you know it's not going to blow over, go for it. It's something I would probably get the professionals in. And I would think as well, for a pergola in Irish weather, maybe think about, would you actually think about an awning there? Because it's something I really want to get in my own house. But an awning, if it's especially attached to, you know, a side wall or something, you can have lights on it, you can have heaters under it, and it could make the space a lot more usable than it might actually be.
Could I just add something to that, Jenny? I think for an entry level DIYer, precast paving is much more achievable than what we call wet laid paving, which is porcelain or tile or something that needs a poured concrete base or is laid on a grout or an adhesive or some sort of, you know, some cementitious material. So something precast is dry laid, it goes on a compacted material, it's easy to screed, and then it's easy to grout after the fact. So for someone who's having a go at something like this themselves for the first time, again, assess the type of material that's available and just kind of tailor it to suit your experience and your abilities, you know?
Listener says, I've just moved into a new apartment, which is lovely, but I only have windowsills to cultivate a garden. What or herbs could I grow in this limited space?
I mean, if it's a sunny windowsill, there's, I mean, planters for herbs, dill is flying right now. I mean, dill, I planted some dill at home myself in a little tunnel a few weeks ago, and it's absolutely flying. Chive, parsley, basil, thyme, rosemary, lavender. The whole range.
Smell too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The whole range is available to you. Just a lot of these are Mediterranean plants, and they won't mind drought conditions, so they don't need to be overwatered. In a raised planter is absolutely perfect for them, but make sure they're getting plenty of sun and they're sheltered.
Mary's got in touch to say, I have a lawn roundabout at the front of my house, which is very wet. I'm wondering what could I plant for a maintenance-free but inviting look.
Do you know what I love? And a look that that has been really popular in the last few years is that wild, you know, putting wildflower seeds, sprinkling wildflower seeds, but then just cutting an edge around the, just a small little edge. So don't go out there at the lawnmower too often, but, you know, overgrown wildflowers, long grasses, all that kind of stuff. And then just a trimmed, you know, maybe it's a 5 to 10 centimetres, something like that, or even a foot in just around the edge, which neatens it up, but then allows that kind of wildness to go in the middle. It's brilliant as well for, you know, insects and wildlife.
Just finally, Brian, this listener says, what can I do to save my beech hedge, which I have on one side of a semi-D house? My neighbour also has a hedge. The timber fence is broken down in between, so really the boundary needs to be replaced.
What they can do to save it?
Yeah,
I mean, it should be possible to get in there and remove the timber fence while not endangering the beech hedge. I mean, if the beech hedge is reasonably well established, it'll be quite tough and resilient at this stage. I wouldn't worry too much about damaging it in the removal. He or she might be asking about how they're going to reinstate a fence. They just possibly need to look into a more slender post, something that can be driven in with a sledgehammer rather than dug out and poured concrete. So maybe think about a very slender 50 mil wide steel bar to carry the new fence that's not going to endanger the existing beech roots, rather than very destructive, intrusive work to put in concrete posts.
Okay, you know? Brian Burke, Woody's DIY and garden expert and RTE Super Garden Judge. Jenny Sheehan, Irish Examiner columnist, who you'll find too on Workers Cottage on Instagram. Thanks a million to you both for joining us. Loads of advice for listeners if you're trying to tackle your garden over the bank holiday weekend.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.